This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:46. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. He was a former director of the military prosecutions for Judea and Samaria. Comes to you, brings us rather the Israel report. A very good morning to you. An incredible amount to speak about. The three topics that I really want to discuss is Israel's reaction to the Manchester terrorism, the terrorist attack yesterday. The latest in terms of the response to the ceasefire, the peace deal, however we call it, and then, of course, the flotilla. Let's start with the anti-Semitic attack in Manchester yesterday. Israel's reaction to this.
So, good morning to everyone and to all the listeners, Howard. So I think the response has been very, very clear. The writing was on the wall. We have been telling all of these leaders around Europe that what they are doing is fueling anti-Semitism. They're allowing terrorist, basically terrorist forces to gather in their capitals and march against Israel, march against Israel's right, right to defend themselves. And it was just a matter of time until one of these attacks happened around one of these countries. England obviously was a front runner, so was France, where basically the anti-Semitism has been rampant for almost 2 years.
So this didn't come as a shock to pretty much anybody. This has been something that's been predicted, it's been called, it's been feared. Does Israel hold the UK government responsible for allowing it to reach this level without dealing with extremism in its midst?
Well, so I don't think Israel is going to say directly that the government is responsible for the terror attack, but they will definitely say, I believe, that they're responsible for creating the atmosphere which allowed the terror attack. That's two very, very different things. The British government clearly for not kosher reasoning is not releasing the name of the attacker, or at least to the best of my knowledge up to an hour ago, and is therefore concealing something which we all know. We are not expecting to hear the name John Smith as the attacker. We are not expecting to see the justification for his, so-called justification for his attack being right-wing ideology. And that is the atmosphere that the British government has allowed to foster and foment, pandering, catering to these radical elements and terrorist elements. And so really they do bear the responsibility for creating that environment and then not preventing the attack.
And of course, as you said, they have now released the name. His name is Jihad al-Shamir, which is the
unsurprising.
Yeah. And I mean, the clue's in the name, Jihad. You know, that's his,
exactly.
his first name, or certainly the name that he goes by. Do we expect to see any real change/movement here, aside from the usual statements saying, you know, that of course love and light, thoughts and prayers, and we'll offer more protection? But is there anything more substantial expected, given the reaction already that we saw in the UK last night, which was all of these riots or whatever it would be, supporting effectively this behavior?
No, I don't think there's any expectation that anything will change from the point of view of the government. The government of England, sadly, already made the decision a while ago that Britain's Jewish population is no longer important to them. that is really outnumbered politically by the number of terrorists that they can pander to and get their votes. The Labour Party specifically is really relying on the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish vote as part of their election campaigns and as part of their political survival. So I don't think there's going to be any change there. This unfortunate pattern that we're seeing around the world, it's not unique to England, where the governments are choosing positively to pander to and cater to the anti-Israel voices because they're simply much larger than the Jewish folk.
The fact that Israel often shares intelligence information with the UK has been something that's happened for many decades. This type of incident combined with the recognition of a Palestinian state following October 7th, is this likely to impact on that aspect of the relationship?
So I think here there is a delicate balance that needs to be struck also for Israel. The difference between providing intelligence information which could potentially prevent attack against Jewish targets as opposed to general terrorist threats that are also prominent in England, where Israel has been very implemental in preventing some of those attacks, in giving prior intelligence. And so that's the balance that needs to be struck between where do we continue just helping Great Britain for no good reason and for no return, and where do we have our own interest in preventing the attacks?
Let's talk about the global Sumud flotilla. Israeli Navy surrounded and later moved the activists. They'll be deported, I believe, early next week. Lots of comments about the legality of this operation. Give me give us the sense of what's really going on there. Keeping in mind that the global media campaign is so strong that it's very hard for us to get accurate information.
So I think the first thing that we have to dispel, Howard, is the great propaganda name that they gave to this flotilla. It is a Hamas-organized flotilla. It is there to help the terrorists, arm the terrorists, support the terrorists. And as such, just at that level, it is a legitimate target for Israel to intercept. If we just go back to maritime law, then the picture is just as clear. Once having imposed a legal maritime blockade on the Gaza Strip, which we know it is legal because in 2010 there was a commission of inquiry set up by the UN Secretary General that declared Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip as something which is legal, and then added that there is no political right to breach a blockade, and anyone who tries to do so is taking their lives into their hands. That's the very, very simple position of international law, of maritime law. A blockade has to be enforced, and it has to be enforced without any type of discrimination. And therefore, once these people decided, once Hamas decided that they were going to try and breach the blockade, then they became legal targets for not only for interception, but to actually be sunk. Israeli warships shooting shells at these ships, that could have been a potential outcome. That's how you actually enforce a blockade. And so whilst they're trying to claim that this was an act of piracy in international waters, there is no validity to that argument whatsoever. Any actual international lawyer, and definitely maritime lawyer who you ask, will give you the exact same answer.
Should Israel have waited until they were a little bit closer to Gaza so there could be no dispute that they were in the territorial waters? Or would it make no difference?
Absolutely not. From the point of view of international law, it makes no difference. Once you have a declared intention to breach a legal blockade, you can be intercepted, whether it's 2 miles outside of the area that's blockaded or 200 miles outside. Once that intention is established, That's what gives Israel the right to intercept. And we don't have to wait until they get closer, or to allow them to get closer, or to maybe breach, or to partially breach, or to get close to breaching. These are all ideas that are floated around and without any connection to international law.
Final question on this particular subject. One of our listeners asked, why didn't Israel just let them go to Gaza and let them deal with the consequences there?
No, it's very simple, because we don't know what is on board these ships. We are told that it's humanitarian aid. From past experience, the amount of humanitarian aid on these ships is very, very limited, and they could potentially carry weapons. That's on the first level. On the second level, once you allow the blockade to be breached, then it is breached for everyone. And at the moment, we can use the blockade to prevent Iranian warships coming into Gaza, or other hostile forces coming in to breach the blockade. But once we allow these ships to come in, we would no longer have that right. So it's really a two-sided sword as to why you cannot just show flexibility for these people. And again, you have to take into account that this isn't a humanitarian mission, Howard. They were offered every option in the world.
There's no doubt in my mind about this. It was just a PR stunt. It's a globally organized media campaign. It was so choreographed and coordinated that it was the transparency of it is just it's actually insulting. But I don't want to not discuss the peace deal or the ceasefire push. We've seen this 20-point plan or whatever that would be. Pushed by Washington, Netanyahu's accepted. Many of the Middle East have accepted it as well. Where are we? What do we know about Hamas's response at this stage?
So at the moment, Hamas hasn't given a clear response as to how they see and view this plan. It has, as you said, all of the elements that should bring about a speedy end to the war, the release of all of the hostages, a plan to rebuild Gaza, a plan to make the lives of the Gazans much better. But I can already tell you now, Howard, Hamas will reject the plan. You have to understand who Hamas is. Hamas is a genocidal jihadi organization. That's been their life's mission since the organization was created. For them to accept this document and to accept the fact that you can now work for the better interests of the Gazans is really to say that they are giving up on their mission to destroy Israel, and they're willing to accept Israel's not only existence, but Israel's almost victory. This is like asking a religious Jew to go out and eat a bacon sandwich on Yom Kippur while sitting at the having a barbecue at the pool.
Right.
That's about the likelihood of it happening.
Right. Which is why there hasn't been a response. And the amazing thing is that the whole world is screaming about a flotilla, which is a construct, the whole idea, and a campaign, whereas within days, this whole thing could be over if they pressured Hamas, if Hamas accepted it. That's the irony here, which is just so ridiculous.
That's exactly it. The world is pushing Israel to surrender rather than pushing the genocidal terrorists to surrender. This is an outrageous situation. But it brings us back to the beginning of the conversation, Howard. That's what these governments have done. That's what these governments have allowed this situation to be created. The British government recognized Palestine as a direct result of the October 7 massacre. I mean, they can use mealy-mouth expressions to distance themselves, but the truth of the matter is October 7 happened, the war started, Israel defended itself, and they recognized Palestine.
Absolutely.
So terrorism pays.
Why
would Hamas give
up? Very, very significant and quite a heavy thought, but it is exactly as I believe you have described. That is where we do need to leave it. Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, the former director of the military prosecutions for Judea and Samaria, bringing us the Israel Report. It is 8 o'clock.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.